It's time. I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt. With a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Visited off and on. Anyways, so he comes and he says, I hear that, you know, you don't seem like. Never heard of it.
Yes. Oh, we're up and running here. Man, we're sitting here, we're just chattering away. Good morning. We were just sitting here chattering away here, as we always do, get a bunch of us that jump in the queue here before the show gets going. We solve all the problems of the world, so I'm sorry if you caught me picking my teeth. I got candy in my mouth, caught me picking my teeth or doing something today. I apologize for that. Jared, if he gave us the countdown and played that music, I didn't get a chance to hear it. Hope that you did. I've been hearing from some of them, and Jared, I guess maybe this is kind of a broad broadcast, if you can put those two words together. I'm hearing from people who are having technical problems. And if that would happen to be you, whether it be on the Global Star Radio Network where we stream or whether it's on YouTube, or if you're having interruptions or something's going on, we don't know if we can fix them. But if we don't know what those problems are, there isn't anything we can do. If we don't know that you're having trouble. So if you get a chance and you are, like my wife just told me before I came down there, she says, I get so frustrated because it cuts out on me. It goes about 20 minutes and it cuts out. And so if that's happening to you, we'd like to know that, only because if we find out it's happening to a bunch of people, then I'm not speaking for our tech guy, Jared, that shouldn't be happening. Okay. And we live in a world of unbelievable communication like we have never, ever seen. I was just talking to Jared about my buddy Mark Harrington, Created Equal, had a debate last night at Purdue University, and it was streamed live. And think about that. Your ability to sit in your home and watch a live broadcast that's not on ABC or CBS or CNN. It's just broadcast off somebody's phone in many cases. But think about this. If you could see, you're probably looking at me now and seeing this beautiful stadium that's sitting behind me. You know that's not real. In fact, some of you, if you came and you looked at the size of the studio, you'd say, are you kidding me? Coach Dave is touching the world out of that little dinky little studio. Yeah, I am. In fact, you're touching the world. You're touching the world at your kitchen table. Most of you are. Got your computer, or your phone right there. Dylan's drinking something as he's listening right now. So the world has gotten so much more open. And therein lies the danger. It really, really does. Really lies the danger. And that's why I did a brief little rant or synopsis at the beginning of the show yesterday that I want to hammer home here again today. Listen, folks, you're being prepared for something. And the fact that you're even listening to this show, I was lamenting to our buddies here before we went on the air. I said, you know, I'm so far out of the mainstream of Christianity. I'm just so far out of it. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to relate. And, you know, the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit said he will guide us into all truth. And one of the things that scares me about everything, really, in regards to religion, is exclusivity. I know this. Whenever you come across a group and think that they are the first ones to discover a truth, and only they have the truth, you are walking into very, very dangerous territory. So I don't want you to think that that's us, because I'm telling you, I'm searching for the truth. Every day of my life, I'm searching for the truth. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. But I'm you know what? Here's how my mind works. I don't know about yours. My grass needs mowed today. I'm probably going to jump on my mower and mow it later on. It's been broken. I had to pay to have my yard mowed. I hate to do that, but I had to do that a couple times until I got my mower fixed. I don't have to fix anything. And I was noticing when I was mowing, driving down the yard, I'm looking behind me. You know, you go down, you mow the yard, and then you turn, you come back up. You know, you zigzag when you mow. I'm not talking about lawnmower, and I'm trying to make a point here. When I turned around and came back, I noticed that the cut wasn't even. It was uneven. When I would turn to come back and I just run over it, part of it was lower than the other. And I couldn't figure out. See, listen to me. It was the unusual pattern that caught my eye. That doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. So I mowed up and turned around and came back, and there it was. Except it was the other way. It was the other way. I couldn't figure out for the life of me what it was, and then I figured it out. Are you ready, Sarge? My tires were low on one side of the mower. My tires were lower. One was really filled, and the other was very, very low. And once I realized that and got air in my tires, my mower began to cut evenly again. The point I'm making is this. I recognized the anomaly. I recognized something was amiss. I wasn't listening to the engine or whether it had enough gas in it or the oil or whether the new belt I'd put in there was working. I wasn't looking at all that. I was looking at the results, and the results weren't what they were supposed to be. Something wasn't lining up. And once I figured out what the problem was, I fixed it. So in my life, as I go around, I live my life. Again, I come back to the fact, was it my football training? Was it my coaching training? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But when I look out at the beauty of the world, my wife's even worse at it. When I look out at the beauty of the world, or I step outside our house and look at our beautiful yard and the trees and everything like that, if I step out, I tend to notice something that's wrong. I don't notice the beauty of the trees and, man, how that all fits together. And I notice it. But I notice that if there's a glob of leaves that are stuck someplace that they're not supposed to be. My wife's worse. She can walk out there, see the most beautiful thing, and something's out of whack. And she says, look at that piece of paper down there. That's happening to me. Is that happening to anybody else? That's where I find myself living my life. And I find myself living my life in that way, especially in regards to my faith, more than anything. And I've reached a point in my life, I hate to tell you this, no I don't. When I hear somebody's a Christian, it doesn't mean anything at all to me anymore. Say, oh, they're good Christian people. They might as well say, oh, they're good Germans. They're good Italians. They're good Americans. That word has become almost meaningless to me. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, I know what you're talking about, so I don't feel like I'm preaching just to myself. And see, the problem with that is, then I begin to question me. And I look around and say, Lord, how can I be right and everybody else wrong? How can that be? I don't want to be that way. I want to be able to go and sit down in the congregation of the saints and fellowship and serve the Lord. I want to do all that stuff, Lord, just like everybody else is. But Lord, I can't. I'm sorry, Lord, when I go sit down and go in the congregation of the saints, I'm noticing that a lot of them ain't saints. Give me a thumbs up. Huh? I'm noticing a lot of them aren't saints. And so that, I don't want to say clouds my mind, but I want you to understand that's how my mind operates. And the last thing that I ever want to do is come and get behind this camera, which goes to the world. We hear from people in Peru and Australia and Europe. I got one the other day from somebody in, what's the name of that place? Pakistan, who's watching the show. And I'm not patting myself on the back and thinking we're global, but the idea that I can sit here and they can watch in Pakistan, are you kidding me? So I don't take this responsibility lightly. Fact, I enjoy it. I enjoy the heck out of it. But I'll be honest with you. It's a burden. Because the Lord is showing me that the mower's not cutting level. And I'm trying to tell everybody, hey, look, that mower's not cutting level. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And rather than getting out and changing the blade and working on the deck, I said, could it just be the tires? So I look at what's going on in America, and I look at the the impact of Christianity in America. And I said, you know, that this blade ain't cutting smooth. There's something wrong here. And I don't want to always be the guy who's pointing out where the other guy's missing it. That doesn't get us anywhere. I want to be able to help that other guy get it. And it's the old coaching training in me, I guess, you know. Look at film. I know you can't understand this. So just bear with me a second. I would watch film after a football game, although it wasn't film, it was videotape. Now it's on CDs and now it's even YouTube. You don't even, it's not film like it used to be. I watch a film of a football game, and I got to tell you something. There are 11 guys out on the field, one football, 11 on defense. There are 22 people out there, one football, five referees. And when something's out of place, it jumps out. There it is. Boom. Look at that. It's the way my eyes have been trained. So here's part of my problem. I guess I'm just kind of bearing my heart here. But I'm going someplace with you today. By the way, Russ Dizdar was going to join us. I heard from Russ last night. He got an emergency call from the police that something was going down with a child, and he needed to be there early this morning in regards to satanic ritual abuse or whatever it might be. The police called Russ because he has great confidence. They have great confidence in him, great relationship. And so he emailed me late last night. He couldn't be here today. So I'm sorry for those of you who tuned in. Let me stop there. Hey, listen. Come on, man. Come to our event here in Ohio. May 19th, 20th, 21st. Sarge is just telling me. Sarge just sent me a video. I remember where I am. I'm coming back. Sarge sent me a video of the Newark, Ohio Earthworks, which is about 8 miles from where we're going to be. And the fact that these Newark, hey, Sarge, jump in here real quick and tell them what that video showed in regards to the Newark, Ohio Circle Mounds, which they told us were made by Hopewell Indians. We're going to go visit this, by the way, May 19th, 20th, and 21st. On 21st, on Sunday morning, we're going to be at the Newark Earthworks. And Sarge, just give us a real quick overview of that video, which I watched, that you sent me. And what was the unbelievable thing about that, Sarge?
Well, if you run a line smack dab down the middle.
Folks, get a picture of the globe. Get a picture of the globe, okay? And you draw a line, a straight line, right across the globe.
And, go ahead, and, Sarge. You run that straight line outwards across the rest of the Earth. 6,000 miles later, you will be at the center of the Giza Pyramid Complex. Straight line.
Think about that
from Ohio and what the entire program was really covering was this whole fact that there were ley lines and lines of connectivity amongst all the megalithic structures.
That spiritual world again, folks, talking about that spiritual world. See, go ahead, Sarge. I'm sorry.
So
there's a connection there, brother.
Connection and the geometry and the sophistry of the mathematics involved was way beyond Indians.
So, Sarge, are you telling me, Sarge, it could be possible that there was a group of people, a group of creatures, a group of whatever people who were around there who had maybe the internet before there was internet or had internet-type capability before there was internet? Is it possible? Is it possible that much of the knowledge that we have is ancient knowledge?
And they could count way better than us since they had 666 and 6.
Amen. So we're going to go there on the 20th. Listen, it's $29 to come, $29. And I just think you'd be blessed if you could get here. I mean, some of your day's drive, some of you got to fly, and I understand all that stuff. I understand the sacrifices of it. May 19, 2021, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar. Go to our website. There's some information on it. Hey, we're having it whether you come or not. We're not going broke, okay? But you're going to miss it. So, again, that leads me right back to where I was chomping, the bit I was chomping on there. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what makes me different? I didn't used to be like this. I used to be able to tell you the starting lineup, the batting order for the Cincinnati Reds, and the New York Yankees. I could do that. I could tell you everything that was going on in the sports world, who was the top golfer in the world. I was consuming the sports. And I realized yesterday, my son came by yesterday, and he's still a big Reds fan, Cincinnati Reds fan. And he mentioned something to me about the Reds, and you know what? I had no idea what he was talking about. I couldn't, for $450, I couldn't tell you one player on the Cincinnati Reds. Right? Well, I think maybe they still have Joey Votto. I don't know. I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. Bronson Arroyo, I saw he's back with them again. I don't know anything. I have no idea if they're winning or losing. I don't know anything about it. And I look at my life and say, Lord, what happened to me? What happened to me? And our daughter moved in with us here because in the process of a house move, and she didn't get a divorce or anything like that. Husband's with her kids, her grandkids, new set of grandkids here. And my other daughter lived with us for 10 months while they were building their house. And it was funny because I heard my one daughter say, what's it going to be like living with mom and dad? And Abby, our oldest daughter, you ready, Sarge? Said, intense. I said, what do you mean by that? She says, Dad, you're just always intense. And I am. And you know, I didn't used to be this way. I'm not saying I wish it wasn't. I'm just saying it didn't used to be that way. That the Holy Spirit of God has transformed me. I can't explain it, man. I can't explain it. And I'm honored to be able to come in here every morning, and honored that you guys would get up and join me and listen to my diatribes and the things that I bring. But a point that I tried to make at the beginning and got off on a bunny trail here is, don't believe me, all right? Don't believe me. Research for yourself. I find these things. I bring them to the table. We cut the meat off and we chew on the bones. And at the end of the day, your faith has to be your faith. It ain't my faith. It doesn't matter what I believe. What do you believe? And I don't want you to ever walk away from here and say, oh, yeah, well, Coach Dave said this. I don't mind if you say that. That's okay. But you cannot take what I say as truth. The truth is here. The truth, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Remember, I'm the football coach. I'm the guy looking at the films. I said, boy, that ain't something wrong there. Something wrong there. Comment. Somebody got something to say here before we get moving on? Is anybody with me out there? Anybody else feeling that same thing going on in their life? That means somebody talk.
Coach, it's Chad here. You know, I was the same way. I was the same way with Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, he was Miami University. I knew all the stats, all that kind of stuff. And so,
Coach?
I changed my whole perspective.
Amen. Whole focus. Yes, Sarah.
Steve wants to say something.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Steve.
Rare that I speak, but by God, I'm here.
Amen. And speaking to Peru and Australia and who knows where else.
I hear that, my brother. The reason you feel that way, Coach, like all of us has at one time or not in our lives, is because sports, it's no longer your God.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be true with anything, from auto mechanics to anything, music, anything. It's no longer our God. We now know who God is. We know who the Holy Spirit is. And if we trust in Him and love Him, daily our lives change for the better. We choose to serve Him. Nothing else. That's all.
Amen. Steve, that's it, brother. That's me. I still love a good game. I still do, but
and there's nothing wrong with that, Coach.
No, that's right.
With listening to or participating in or going to see a good game. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
Just like music, there's nothing wrong with it. But we need to be real careful. We don't serve it.
Amen, Steve. To think when the Ohio State Buckeyes come on the TV, football, Ohio State Buckeyes football, I no longer want to be out with my buddies pounding some beers and watching the Buckeyes. I want to just be sitting. I'll watch it, but I'm just going to sit in my chair when it's over, and we'll get up and go to bed because it's just a game to me, you know. Anybody else want to bear their soul here this morning, just so that I know I'm not alone here in this transformation that's taking place in my life and in my heart. Anybody else? Because I'm gonna pull it all together here for you in a minute. Just give you a chance now to speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, Coach, I was like that. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and if they lose a game, you couldn't talk to me for a week. And now it's just a game.
Amen.
It's no big deal.
Amen. And Tyrell, you would see people whose lives were absolutely dictated by whether they won or lost, weren't they?
Yep.
Church-going people. Church-going. Sarah said idolatry in any form is dangerous. It's evil. So let's ask ourselves this. You guys, I mean, how we even came together. That in itself would be a story if we all begin to tell our story about how we all ended up joining up here in the morning, or you know, whenever it is that you're listening to it. What was it, Drew? You, how you just kind of the miracle story of how you found this program, certainly directed by somebody or something. How that whole thing happened. And see, I think it's part of a larger issue that's going on than what we even understand. I was blessed yesterday by Mark Taylor. Mark Taylor talking about the idea that more and more people are going to be coming out of the mainstream church, for lack of a better word. Hey, listen, I'm not against the local church. I'm not against the local church. I love pastors. I know some good pastors who give their hearts to that assembly. I'm not against it. I'm for them. I'm not against them. But the church system is broken. The church system is broken. And let's be honest, just like we do in sports, whatever happens in the professional sports eventually makes it down to the high school sports. Can I give you an example? Bill Walsh, who used to be a head coach of San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana and those guys, he developed what was called the West Coast offense. This goes back 25 years. It became the West Coast offense. Now, what is that? What does that even mean? Other than it was a new offensive approach that Coach Walsh developed, and it was the West Coast because he was in San Francisco. So what began to happen? Well, the Minnesota Vikings, who aren't on the West Coast, began to develop the West Coast offense. And then the Jets pick it up, and then the Panthers pick it up. And next thing you know, everybody's running the West Coast offense. And then the West Coast offense trickles down into the colleges, and it becomes known as the spread, now called the spread formation. Quarterback hardly ever gets under center anymore. It all started at the top, and it trickled down to the next level. Now the colleges are all running the spread. And what do you think happened next? Just as I was getting ready to end my coaching career, they didn't run me out, and I didn't lose my way out of it. You know what I'm talking about. Those old nuts and bolts by the fundamentals played a game. Then all of a sudden, that spread began to trickle down into the high school. The next thing you know, all the high schools were running the spread offense. And it all started with Bill Walsh at San Francisco. And so whether we realize it or not, American football underwent a transformation, or what's the word we would use in the church? A reformation, and went from big, strong, ugly guys to smaller, faster, little guys. Little guys can now play football again because why? It's a spread offense. It's a West Coast offense. It's trickled down. Are you with me? Are you with me? But here's the point. When people would talk about the great football teams, they would call Bill Walsh the guru. Well, why was he the guru? Because he was the Pope of the West Coast offense. He was the creator of it. We could use this in just about any other line of work. And what concerns me is the West Coast offense has crept into the local church. That's what concerns me. That you see the big mega churches, they're running this brand new type of offense. And little churches, if they're even alive, are being emptied because everybody wants to go to the flim flam. They all want to go watch the what do they call that? The circus, the elephants and the monkeys. They all want to go to this place where it's all entertainment. And as a result, you end up with a bunch of people that, like me, if I go back and start coaching again, I'm going to the I formation. I'm going to line up in the I. We're going to block down and kick out, and we're going to run off tackle, and we're going to kick your butt. Why are we going to kick your butt? Because we're going to play by the fundamentals, and we're going to play smash-mouth football, and we're going to win. Why? Because the rest of the football world isn't playing smash-mouth football anymore. Okay? Is this making sense to anybody? Is anybody following me, or am I just kind of talking to myself here today? This is what we're dealing with in American Christianity. The spread offense has now infiltrated the local church. And what happens then? Well, you get old churchgoers like Roger, and like George and Sarah. And they don't like that West Coast. They can't take that game. And they don't like that game. That doesn't resemble anything that they're used to. And it's not that they're old fuddy-duddies, old stick-in-the-muds, old fundamentalists, although that's the name that they would like to call, they'd like to call you, Neanderthals. It's that your faith goes deeper than the bells and the whistles. It goes deeper than skinny jean, moosed-up hair, light show Christianity that doesn't appeal to you. You say, this is fleshly, this is carnal, this doesn't appeal to me. What has happened to us? What's happened to us? Hang with me. I'm trying to get us somewhere. And so, again, coming back to the idea of exclusivity, the idea that my dad can beat up your dad, or my belief is stronger than your belief, or I know better than you know. We have to be very careful, because Jesus warned us that that's the leaven of the Pharisees. The idea that I'm right and you're wrong, that I'm more righteous than you are, that's the leaven of the Pharisees, is very, very dangerous. And I fight that all the time. Not that I feel that I am that way, but that urge is always there. I'm right. You're wrong. You're no good. I am good. Thumbs up. With me? But I'm discovering, for lack of a better word, new truths. Time out. There aren't any new truths. All right? There aren't any. There's nothing new under the sun. But I have to tell you, to me, it's a new truth. The truth isn't new. It's new to me. And when I recognize it as truth, and it becomes truth to me, I can't unbelieve it. I'm sorry. I cannot ignore it. And I found thousands of people who tune on this show who are in the same boat. Thumb up. Is that you? You can't take it anymore? You love the Lord? You're strong in your faith? But dare I say it, you're curious about what's going on? Certainly there's more to Christianity than just Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and sit around and wait for the end of the world to come. Certainly there's more to it than that. Certainly this thing that we call Christianity has been a tag team handoff thousands and thousands of years, generations and generations and generations that we don't even know about, have brought us to this point. And that what we have and what we don't have is all a result of who came before us. You know right now that they are changing the history in our public schools. Let's take faith and religion out of it. They're changing history in our public schools. Do you think when you walk into first grade, are they still teaching? I don't know. Are they still calling President Lincoln Honest Abe? Anybody have any children or grandchildren? They call him Honest Abe anymore? Do we still have George Washington? They still tell the story of George Washington chopping down a cherry tree? Are they rewriting history about the white man and what the white man did to the Indians? Are they rewriting history? See, they will say they are unveiling the real truth about what happened. And that up to this point, we've been taught myths and lies and things that aren't true. I think that's going on in our faith as well, see. That's Psalm 78. By the way, Jared, let's go there real quick. I wasn't counting on it. And then I got somewhere I'm going here. Because I'm ready to use it. Well, the other day we're getting ready to move. And we were talking about carpet. And somebody in the room, I can't remember who it was, says, well, you know, maybe you can just go down to the store and get some remnants. What? Yeah. Maybe you can go down and get some remnants. What's a remnant? Oh. It's a piece that remains from the original. It's not the full carpet. It's just a piece of it. Maybe it's big enough that you can put it in an area in your room and make it an area rug, but it's a remnant. In fact, we used to write rug, used to have those advertisements. Remnants, come and get your remnants. So some of you feel like you're an old throw rug. I think it's because maybe you're a remnant. Oh, are you in? Are we in Psalm 78, Jared? Because I've got to see this. Let me get it over here. Boy, I'm really kind of melancholy this morning. Don't know why. I don't mean to do that to you. Let's slide on down, Jared. We're way on down. I'm sorry. If I had my Psalm 78 open, it just popped into my head. That's why I didn't have the exact verse for you. Hang on, bud. Keep going. You're doing good. There we are. Let's start. I'm wrong, Jared. Let's start 6, verse 6. Psalm 78, verse 6. Here's where we are. 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Point being what, Coach? Everything you know, you've been taught by somebody else. I don't care what it is. Well, some of it you may have learned through trial and error and experiment on your own. But everything you've learned, somebody else has taught you, which, by the way, is the way it's supposed to work. That the fathers should make it known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. Know what? Well, might know the testimonies of Jacob. That the generation to come might know their history. Even the children should be born who would arise and then declare that history to their children. And that they might set their hope in God and not forget the history of God, but keep his commandments. And then that they wouldn't be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that didn't set their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, and they kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. That's Christianity. That is American Christianity. We have rejected the time-honored traditions. I talk about a Western civilization being under attack. We have rejected those time-honored values that has kept America great. Traditional marriage. Are you kidding me? A man marrying a woman for life? You remember when divorce was illegal? You couldn't just – Ronald Reagan gave us no-fault divorce. We've rejected that. We've rejected the idea of the family. We've rejected the idea that the man is the head of the household and the woman is the caregiver and the nurturer at home for the children. We've rejected all of that. We've rejected all the idea that for schools, for public schools, for years and years and years in America, we taught morality, biblical morality to our children. We've rejected all that. We've thrown all of that aside. We used to teach modesty in the church. I grew up, you went to church. My dad, even as a little guy, my dad made us wear a tie, or my mom did. Somebody did. I wore a tie to church. You wouldn't have thought about going to church if you weren't dressed nice. That's why they called you put on your Sunday best. We've rejected all of these things. Because all of these things have been rejected, and now we're running the West Coast offense in our churches. There are those of us who remember how the game used to be played. Say, I want that game to be played. I don't want this. I want my kids to have this. In fact, I've been teaching this spread offense to my kids, and now they're not even in church anymore. They don't see any need to go to church anymore. They can find entertainment other places. If the gospel is just an add-on to your life, well, they just don't need to add it on. You watch Mark Harrington at that debate last night and see how obviously and how blatantly the professor at the University of Purdue hates Christianity. It's plain to see. So we are the remnant. Now, there are a lot of people out there calling themselves a remnant. Yeah, hey. There's some Methodists who say that, some Presbyterians. Some Lutherans. Some non-denominationals. And you know what? They probably are. They probably are the remnant church, the leftover of the original. If the Lord permits me over the next 2 days, I'm going to take us on a bit of a journey here that some of you maybe you're going to find a little bit unsettling and uncomfortable. That's okay, though. I'm trying to bring the truth to you. I haven't discovered anything. I've just read. And we keep coming back to this theme. The Lord keeps bringing me back to this theme. Wide is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come, but few find it. Hey, that's a theme. Go through your Bible, New Testament in particular, and see how often you come across this word, whosoever. That is a, if you remember my English properly, that's a dividing word. When you use whosoever, that means there's the whosoever's and there's the whosoever don'ts. It's a divining rod. Whosoever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what happens to the whosoever nots? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that the whosoever nots don't believe in him. What happens to them? And as I said earlier, because Christian doesn't mean anything anymore, I'm really leery. I'm going to call time out because, I've gone on a soliloquy. As an Englishman, I know all those big words. I've gone on a soliloquy here for about 40 minutes. Anybody want to tap in here? Anybody want to say something? Anybody want to add anything onto this before I pull up what I want to finish up with here today?
You know, Coach, you talked about how when it comes to like history classes, you know, they're rewriting history every day. History's changed from what they taught me, from what they taught you, to what they're teaching kids now.
History hasn't changed, but their teaching of it has. Go ahead.
Their teaching of it has. Well, you know. You could say the same thing about pastors in the pulpit. I mean, we got a whole book of the Bible. We got, you know, the Bible with all the books in it. But, man, how many do we actually touch? It seems like we are the ones with the hard truth in them.
That's right. Dylan, that's a great observation. We like to get into those areas that are comfortable to us, don't we? And whether we will admit this or not, we try to stay away from that Old Testament because that's things full of rules and regulations and a mean old guy with a lot of judgment. So we want to go. We like this Jesus guy. This Jesus guy is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We like him. We don't want to have to mess too much with his daddy. Jared, pull up on here. I think it's what is the remnant, Jared? I think it says what is it, Jared? Because I want to encourage you today. Okay, what time is it? Yeah, I think we're okay. I want to encourage you today. You're an old throw rug. If you're watching, if you're finding yourself watching this show, I believe you're a remnant. I believe you're part of the original. Now we know this that. Carpet stores, when they have big reams of carpet, people usually buy it in big reams and they go and they put them in apartments and they run over. And what the remnant is what's left over. And I'm not claiming exclusivity, but I'm here to tell you right now that there is a group of believers out there that are part of us. We're part of them and we don't even know who they are. Thumb up on that. Somebody say, okay. The idea that it's just coming out of this church or this denomination or this set of beliefs or new apostolic renewal, all these things that they're throwing out there trying to to give meaning. Trying to help God do his job, trying to help God live out his prophecy. That's what's going on. We're trying to help God rather than just being obedient, doing what he says. So I call it up on here, the remnant, because we hear a lot of it. We don't really know what it means. Who or what is the remnant church? See what you think about this. Remnant means that which remains of an original body or substance. In reference to God's people, it means those who are faithful to his original truth despite apostasy and opposition. It's in the Bible in Isaiah 9. It says, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been like a Sodom and should have been like an unto Gomorrah. Among people professing religious faith, the remnant is a very small minority. It's in the Bible. Romans 9:27 says, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Wow. They did say that, didn't they? That Abraham's children be as the sands on the seashore. Wow. God's remnant people are keenly aware that they are saved by grace and not by any other merit in themselves. It's the Bible, Romans 11:5. Even so, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Hey, Sarah, I don't know why you're here. Tyrell, I don't know why you're here. George, I don't know what makes you get up every morning and tune in here. Dylan, Sarge, all of you out there, Roger, Rich, Chad, Rob, I could go on. I don't know what makes you tune in here. Something that's drawing you. Something is drawing us together. God's remnant have a deep appreciation of his forgiveness and mercy. Talking about us now, giving a characteristics. These are characteristics of you, okay? God's remnant people are keenly aware that they are saved by grace and not by any merit in themselves. It's in the Bible, Romans 11:5. Even so, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of the grace. God's remnant have a deep appreciation of his forgiveness and mercy, and thus receive the full benefits of his salvation and truth. It's in the Bible, Micah 7:18-19. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of your sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. See, there's that tag team handoff, passing it down generation to generation. See, listen now, Sarge, George. Satan is angry with God's last day remnant, and he wages war against them. That's in the Bible too, Revelation 12:17. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The dragon is the devil, Revelation 9. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. The woman symbolically represents God's people, Jeremiah 6:2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. And Isaiah 51:16, Zion, thou art my people. So the remnant are people of unshakable integrity who love truth, are totally honest. That's in the Bible too. Zephaniah 3:13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. It says, compare this with Revelation 14:1-5, which says, doesn't tell us what it says. Although Satan deceives the whole world, he does not succeed in deluding the remnant, for they are loyal to God. They keep the commandments. They have the testimony of Jesus. That's in the Bible too, Revelation 12:17. The remnant of her seed keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. See, that's in the Bible. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The prophetic testimony is a guiding light for God's last day people. That's in the Bible, 2 Peter 1. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that take heed. as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day shall arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nothing new under the sun. Jesus pronounces a special blessing on those who study his prophetic word and take guidance from it, especially the book of Revelation. It's in the Bible, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and he that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The remnant have a worldwide evangelistic influence before the counting of the great and terrible day of the Lord, Joel says. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Wide, narrow, many, few. You can be among the remnant if you respond faithfully and obedient to God's call. It's in the Bible, book of Revelation. Blessed are those who do God's commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. There's that word again. Whosoever. So you're here for a reason, and I'm here for a reason. And remember, the scriptures told us that the Lord would give us the desires of our hearts. And I was trained up my whole life, as probably most of you were, thinking that to get the desires of your hearts means to get what you want. Just pray to the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, I sit here today at 64 years old, and I want you to know that he's given me the desire of my heart. He created in me a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within me. He gave me new desires in my heart. To me, that's evidence of what the Bible says is transformation. Behold, all things become new. And so why do you find yourself here? Why are you? Why do you see yourself as part of the remnant? Because you have a heart's desire after the Lord. You say, well, Coach, I go to church. A lot of people who have that desire after the Lord. Really? Well, the Bible just said right there at the end, help me out if I'm wrong here. I'm reading it. It says this, and let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. And whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Well, why aren't others so on fire? Why is it other people you run to in church, other Christians you run into, why are they so nominal in their faith? No, wait a minute. I'm not talking about, I don't even know if I'm even talking about a salvation issue. I'm not here to say I'm saved and he's not. I'm not here to say that. I don't know that. But I wrestle with it. Why am I in such pursuit after the things of the Lord when most people aren't? Most churchgoers aren't. It's just Christianity and church is just something they just casually do. That doesn't have their whole heart. Love the Lord with your whole heart, your whole soul, mind, your whole soul. Love him with all of you. I don't. I try to, but I don't. But yet, my entire life is consumed with the things of the Lord. I feel like I'm doing a confession here today. Somebody, has the Lord poked anybody in the chest here today? Anybody, something anybody wants to say?
Dave?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Driving 270, heavy traffic. But no, I think it's a great confession of truth. So I think it's beautiful. The only thing I would add just from my own personal with is I'll sit at my coffee table and my wife will stop by and we'll talk and I think I'm just brilliant. And what I mean by that is it's like we see things that others don't see.
Because we do.
We do. And I just cannot understand how others, and I think that's that's where I struggle some. And there's nothing that I'm finding out that is really unique. It's just in God's word. But when I get with the cue and the huddle and the different inputs, it's like my whole eyes are opened up. And I'm a pretty stable guy, so I don't live in the extremes. But what I'm learning is not in the extremes.
No, it isn't. Shouldn't be.
It's right in God's word.
Amen.
So for me, where I get terribly frustrated is, and I've got to work on, is just, people, don't you understand what's going on? I've got a friend, and I'll wrap up here. You know, he's on a school board, and he's the president of the school board. I'm like, well, aren't you standing up against evolution and saying something or quitting? And he just doesn't get it. Here he is in a position of power as a believer. And I'm like, haven't you raised this issue yet? Or have you raised the issue of what's being taught historically? And his answer is kind of a squeamish no. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm.
You know, that's a struggle I have.
Yeah, but you understand, though, Roger, again, remember the scripture. I don't have it in front of me. It just came to me. I was going, I'll share it tomorrow. Remember, the Bible talks about believers who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not. This is not an unusual situation, folks. This is not unusual. And so rather than carrying it as a cross, which I do, a bear cross, be honest with you, some situations, what an honor. What an honor that the Lord has opened your eyes and that you see and that you hear and that you understand. Maybe not totally, but you understand. You're beginning to see it. And Roger, I want you to think about this. Since we started this show January 25th, a year ago, how many of these things have you missed, Roger? And at what point in your life, up till this point, had you ever been this immersed in the scriptures like you are now? Ever. There's something to it, isn't it? There's something to it. See, the deeper you see, folks, listen, it isn't hidden. You just got to dig it out. It's right there in front of us. Most of us, we're so busy in life that we just don't take the time to dig it out. It's like hunting mushrooms. Not everybody likes to hunt mushrooms. Boy, my brother does. Those old morels or whatever. Phew, I can't. Zach got some the other day and brought them home. I said, I ain't going to eat that thing. That's mold. Some people like them. But he had to go find them. Anybody else? Good word, Rog. That's a good word. I'm stalling. Hang on, George. I'm stalling a little bit because I only have 7 minutes left. I got something else I want to. I'll save it till tomorrow. So help me stall these last 7 minutes. Go ahead, George. You're up, George.
Coach, hey, I know it was creating a new, we all have an appetite for something. Remember where it says, Father's heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I think when we get serious about asking God for his will and submitting our will, this is a new appetite for them. Not for what we want. I really think sometimes it's that simple.
Well, George, you're breaking up. I got the gist of it. Can I give you an example? When I married my wife. God, what a move that was. Wow. I didn't even know it. When I married my wife, she started making salads for me. Not just for me, but salads for supper. And the most amazing thing happened. She put stuff in that salad that in my whole life I'd never eaten in a salad. I'm telling you, she threw nuts in there. She threw sunflower seeds in there. She threw bits of this in there and bits of that. And now every time Michelle makes a salad, I can't wait because I can't wait to see what she's throwing in that salad. I was always a salad eater, but not like now. Not like I eat salads now. I love to go to a salad bar. Just went to Ruby Tuesdays the other day. Took Michelle and I. We went out to Ruby Tuesdays. They had that great salad bar. Oh, man. Because of what the change that Michelle's had in my life, I'd love to go to the salad bar and throw a bunch of stuff on top of a salad that when I grew up, stay with me, when I grew up, I was just eating lettuce with French dressing on. You with me? So, George, that's the point that you're making, see? You got a bigger salad now, and that you throw that in, and oh, that makes it, that tastes good too. And so it's the Lord leading us into greater truth, not greater truths, because the truths are there. They're not new, but the Lord's opening our eyes up to realize you can put bacon in a salad and it'll taste good. You can throw almonds in there and English walnuts, and it enhances it. And that's where I feel I am with my life. My life's being enhanced. The salad of my Christian walk is being so enhanced by the stuff that I'm chewing on now. Anybody? I hear somebody. They go silent on me. So that's where I am. That's where I am today. I know my buddy Jeff's listening. Jeff calls me regularly after the show, and every time he calls me, he says, "Coach, I thought I'd never say this. I thought I'd never say a show was better than yesterday, but Coach, today's was better." And it amazes me, because you know what? I know they're good, and I know they ain't me. I know they're not. And so I just pray, continue to pray, that together the Lord's going to guide us to truth. You'll understand that what you have to say is just as important in this salad as the guy who's making the salad. And if you're not throwing your raisins in there, and you're not kicking in a few croutons, and if you're not throwing in a little piece of chicken here and there, if you're not adding to this salad that we have here every morning, it loses some of its pizzazz. I was just thinking, George, when you were when you came in to make that last comment, I've got to keep my eye on the clock here. I'm okay. How many times have you ever been in church and you knew that the pastor wasn't going to be finished until he was through with his message? And you're sitting there and you've already had enough to eat. I'm not making fun of you, Pastor Bill, if you're listening. And you've already had enough to eat. And I just keep feeding you to the point where you want to burp. Wait, let me digest this again. Look, can we have another bite here next? Can you save that to next week? And part of teaching, part of learning, is to realize that at some point you reach a point where you got to shut up and let the people chew. Let them chew on what you've already given them, rather than constantly throwing a different variety of beef. Rich and Chad, I think Chad was with us. I lose so much track of time. I went to a place called Brazilian Barbecue. You guys ever been there? I don't know if you ever have. Rich took me there to Brazilian Barbecue, and it's this place that was pretty expensive. I didn't have to pay for it. It was Chris. Chris paid for it. Thanks, Chris. It's this Brazilian barbecue. You sit there and they come by with this. They carry the meat out to you. And they say, "Hey, would you like some prime rib?" Yeah. And so they cut you off some prime rib. And 10 minutes later, some other guy comes up going, "Hey, want some sirloin?" Yeah. And they just cut it off. And I know there's a tendency to sit there and just eat every daggone thing, every part of the cow. They come and they cut it, and you can have as much as you want, eat as much as you want. And after a while, I just realized, you know, this is just one piece of this would just been enough. This prime rib was just about it, just eating that. That's where we can get sometimes in Bible studies and stuff that we're doing. Sometimes we just need to chew and digest. Let the Lord make it real inside your heart and inside my heart. I want to encourage you this morning that you are a peculiar people. If you're watching this, you're peculiar. I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know if that means you're not better than anybody else. I'm not better than anybody else. You're not smarter than anybody else, and I'm not smarter than anybody else. But for whatever reason, the Lord has brought us together at this time to be doing what we're doing. And I consider it an honor, and I consider it a privilege, and I'm humbled by it, and I don't think I'm better than anybody else. So I think that it's an honor. See, honors don't always come in the way that we expect them to come. Sometimes, as a football coach, I'm about done. We're about out of time. I'm just going to leave you with this nugget. Oh, gee, I've got to. Sometimes I'd call a kid over after practice. He wasn't a captain of the team. He wasn't a star of the team. He wasn't anything like. He was just on the team, playing hard, doing his best. Sometimes I'd go over during practice, and I'd call him. I'd say, hey, Tim, come here. Tim would come over, and I'd put my arm around him and say, Tim, listen, I want you to know something. I watch how hard you practice and how hard you play. I want you to know that we're only as good as we are because of you and your attitude. You have any idea how much that guy would run through a wall? I'm here to tell you. I appreciate the way y'all play, the way y'all study, the way y'all operate. And we as a body of Christ, whether we call ourselves remnant believers or not, we're only going to be as strong as you personally decide to operate in your gifts. I want to help you bring those out. God bless you. We'll see you. See you tomorrow. Wednesday morning already.